Amen. Good to see you here tonight. Hope you're looking forward to serving the Lord tomorrow. Don't forget, teenagers, if you're going to the Soldier of the Cross Youth Rally, please sign up tonight so Brother Scott has a notification who he needs to wait for. I hope y'all all go, that they're available. That's this Friday night. And then couples class will be having their chili cook-off fellowship, 4:30 this Saturday, and visitation Thursday night and Saturday morning. So take heed and be where you can be. Do what you can do for the Lord during those opportunities. We're going to be starting in Hebrews tonight, Hebrews chapter number 2. Good to see the good group of kids from the Discovery Club. That is a blessing. Always good to see the kids growing up and moving on to the youth zone. The youth zone is really keeping a good steady number. And the Sunday school classes as well. If you're not part of the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, come and enjoy yourselves. We have a good time. Classes for all ages, groups. And Brother Ray said he had a good turnout Tuesday. Brother Connie, how's it going on evangelism?
I think it's going very well. I mean, you have to talk to those who are attending because, you know, that's but I think it's going well. God is blessing me.
That's good. Is the material good?
Material is good.
All right, good. Well, hopefully we'll have that another go-round. That Sunday evening is at 5:15. That was by sign-up only. We had to limit it till we learn what we're doing there. Maybe one day we'll just do the whole church. We'll just do it for 13 weeks for the Sunday evening. But we're going to let us get our feet wet a little bit. So. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. I'm going to read there. I'm going to give you four quick thoughts. We have a business meeting tonight, so we will not tarry long. Take care of the Lord's work here just a little bit. But here's four things that I think if we grasp as individuals, as a family unit, as Sunday school classes, and as a church in whole, I think it will help us to grow. Now, we need to make sure that we understand that growth priority should be spiritual. But with spiritual growth, if you study the book of Acts, comes numerical growth. There's 12 apostles. They turned the world upside down. 120 in chapter 1. Chapter 2, there was 3,000 saved and added to the church on the same day. Then you go a few more chapters and 5,000. And it just growth. So, but it came from spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, that you read about it, they were in one accord, one place. Love the Lord, keeping the commandments of the Lord. So I think as an individual, you know, I don't want us to think too big, because sometimes we think too big. Well, wow, that's so much information just for the church. But when we get to the fourth thing, I think you'll see that you are an important part of the church there. But Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we have to be very careful that we are grabbing a hold and holding firm to biblical truths. So biblical truths change not. The Bible is absolute. You say, Pastor, you say that all the time. Well, I'm going to keep saying it. Because there's too many people that are telling us that the Bible is changeable. It goes with the wind. No, a double-minded man goes with the wind, tossed to and fro. The Word of God is settled. It's forever settled. Heaven and earth pass away. God said, my word will not. So we've got to put a good grip on biblical truths. Not preferential things, but biblical truths that we hold to and we take heed to and we hold on to them, because at any time we could let them slip. We just let them fade. You know, it just slowly fades away and runs out there. So if we're going to have some growth, personal growth, family unit growth, and all these institutions were started by God Himself. You know, we're all creatures created by God. We didn't just happen. So the human being is a thing of God. Families. Adam and Eve became one flesh. That was because God said, this is how it's going to be. And, you know, as a church, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is God's institution. So in any way you go, these basic things that I'm talking about tonight will help us to grow. The Word of God's going to help us. And we need to grasp biblical principles. Say, Pastor, I can't understand the Bible in its entirety. If you find somebody that's grasp and has a good, solid understanding of the Bible in its entirety, dear friend, they're liable to be in a place that they can never be taught. We're constantly learning. The things of God is much higher than us. Now, as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we gain more knowledge, more understanding. God reveals more, and we hunger and thirst after the things of God, and we chase after the things of God. But dear friend, we need to be very careful that we give more earnest, because this day and age has us so busy. I can ask anybody to stand up today, and I guarantee you this one day, you probably had 10 different things that you were trying to get accomplished. I mean, just trying. Brother Ray told me about an instance the other day. He was going somewhere, got out there to do something, and before he got back, four more things popped up in a matter of 4 or 5 hours. Just choo, choo, choo. You know, we're busy. That's not by just chance. God wants us to stop and rest, learn of Him, take our yoke upon, His yoke upon us. The devil wants us to be so busy that we cannot stop for a moment to meditate upon the Word of God. You know, you know I'm telling the truth. So this day which we live in, we got a more earnest heed. I mean, you got to put forth some effort. I'm going to be just honest with you, dear friend. None of y'all came here on a Wednesday night just by chance. You planned to be here. You made a conscious choice or effort, because you know as well as I'm standing here that there was other things that had your attention all day long that could have kept you so busy that you said, you know, I really ain't going to be able to make it tonight. Just not going to be able to. But you made that choice. So you got to earnest take just a grip and hold on to the things of God, because they're slipping left and right. They're certainly slipping left and right. So we need to give constant priority to things that we have heard. Not just things, but biblical things. You know, the ear is where we take things in. The eye is where we see. Our eye, if we see things, the Bible talks about our eye moving us and you know, causing compassion. My eye has affected me. My ear is a gateway. So what I've heard. So be very careful, dear friend, in your daily lives. Like for instance, I don't know about you, but I love radio. I get in the shower. I bought me one of these here speakers that can get wet in there, and I put on Sherlock Holmes. I put on old time classic radio programs, Lone Ranger. And I'm sitting there getting a shower and I get my horsey going. I love radio. I love it. But if I'm not too careful, those old time classics will take over and there'll be no old time scripture. So I have to be careful. See, we can have, most time when we start talking about the ear and things we hear, first thing pops up, oh, ungodly this, ungodly. There's nothing that I found, you know. Sherlock Holmes, pretty good, the old ones. I'm talking back when it was just played on the radio. You know, what's the one I man, you see, you draw a blank when you want to talk about this stuff. The dog, the mountain.
Lassie?
Who?
Old Yeller.
No, not Old Yeller. I got to get my podcast open here. Sergeant Preston. Who said that? Brother Carl. Sergeant Preston. I mean, he comes to the rescue all the time, right? I haven't found nothing, but it can eat up lots of time if I allow it. So we have to be careful. Things I hear throughout the day and grasp them. And I'll tell you, when you're holding on to biblical truths, and just gripping them with just a death grip, not wanting them to slip at any time, dear friend, when false things come about through the ear, bang. It says, hey, I don't think that sounds good, but that's not biblical. There's a difference in sounding good and biblical. There's biblical things. Every biblical thing I've ever heard sounds really good to the spirit. But the flesh says, nah, you can put that off. So we got to give constant priority to the things which we have heard if we want to have growth here at the church, family, personal. Second thing, John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. Listen to what it says in verse number 32. John chapter 12 and verse number 32. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." We've got to give constant priority to the things which we hear. And we're going to have to make Christ number one. Because he said here, if I, talking about himself, be lifted up, he will draw all men to it. And we have to be very careful as an individual that we decrease and God increases. But to be very careful as a family that Christ has priority. We have to be very careful as a church that Christ has the throne of our hearts. That Christ is number one. That Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me." So we got to make sure that he's number one in our personal lives. Because if he's not number one in our personal lives, he will not be number one in our family. If he's not number one in my personal life, he's not going to be number one in my family. He definitely would not be number one of my church. Because why? Churches are made up of individuals and families. And we're just a bunch of messed up people. Saved by the grace of God. We couldn't save ourselves. We needed Jesus to pay our sin debt. We put our faith and trust in him. And we just got to put him first and continue to try to make much of Jesus. So if you want to have personal growth, dear friend, Jesus is going to have priority. Well, preacher, why didn't you start with him first since he has to be number one? Because how did we hear about Jesus? Scripture, Bible. The things we know about our Savior comes from the Word of God. Now, after we've been saved, and He lives within us, and He's our Lord, and we learn more and more and more about Him personally. But that which we know personally is from Scripture. Because Scripture is truth. You know, we got to understand there's a lot of things said about Jesus. Jesus Himself said it. They'll say, here's Jesus, there's Jesus. Be careful. How do we know? We have the Word of God. We compare what's said about Jesus, and we look at Scripture, and we see it, and we follow along and say, yep, that's exactly what it's saying. You remember what Jesus asked His disciples? Who do men say that I am? And who do men say that they were? Oh, some say you're Elias. Some say you're John the Baptist. He said, who do you say? Thou art the Christ, Peter said. How did that happen? By knowing much about Him and spending much time with Him and making Him number one. Now, was Jesus number one in Peter's life forever in entirety? We know not. We know it was not, because he sat around a campfire, cursed people, denied, broke the heart of the Lord, went fishing, took other people with him. The Lord had to go follow him. Hey, y'all caught anything? No, not really told all night long. Cast on the other side. So we know he didn't. And we know that Jesus is not always been number one in our lives. We know it. I'm standing here being honest as you. You're being honest with me. You're being honest with yourself. But dear friend, you will not have any growth without a firm grip of priority of the things of God, the Word of God, and Christ being number one in your life. 1 Timothy, third thing. First Timothy chapter 2. You can't just dig a hole, drop some corn in there, and hope something grows. Doesn't happen like that. Doesn't matter which mayor says it. And you can't just drop into church every now and then and hope your relationship with Christ grows. Just can't. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, I'm in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men, listen to what it says, pray everywhere. Somebody give me another scripture. Very small scripture in 1 Thessalonians that says the same exact thing. Pray without ceasing. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Well, Brother Jim said, let's pause for a minute and let people get their seat, because it's hard to walk with your eyes closed. Right? Hard to walk with your eyes closed praying. Well, the scripture says here, Brother Jim, that we're to pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Okay? There is a time of closed eyes, reverence, seeking God in prayer. But we can't spend that all day long. I think most of us would be fired. We're standing around at work. Hey, what you doing? I'm praying. Oh, you're supposed to be sweeping over there. Okay. And we close our eyes sweeping. What you doing? I'm praying, sweeping. No, that's not what the scripture's saying. We should have an attitude. We should have a time. I mean, we should be at a moment's notice be able to talk to God. When Nehemiah stood before the king, there, and the king saw his countenance was bothered and troubled. Nehemiah didn't have time to run over to his prayer closet. He didn't have time to call the men's prayer group and say, hey, can we pray together real quick? Nehemiah had to pray. And he said a very small prayer. God heard, and God moved. We need to be ceaseless and relentless in our prayer lives. I mean, constantly communicating, talking with God, and you know, having a heart in tune with God. If you want to grow, dear friend, you're going to have to talk to Him. You're going to have to open up Scripture. I'm not getting fed. Well, you've got to open up the Bible. You've got to open up the Bible. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm way down there at the bottom in this pastor and preaching thing. So if you're depending upon me to feed you to a full-grown Christian, I mean, you'd be running around here with ribs showing, spiritually speaking. You're going to have to dig. And I can say this, the greatest orator and preachers of the Word of God wouldn't be enough. It just wouldn't be enough. Name me a great preacher, Brother Paul. Somebody, name me a great preacher. Great preacher of all.
J. Frank Norris.
If he was risen from the dead to come up here and preach every service, it wouldn't be enough. You have to have personal time with God. You need to feed your soul. Reading, spending time, first place. God's a jealous God. Jesus paid a debt that no man could pay, that we might have eternal life and be called part of the family of God. And we spend time in prayer. And we're going to finish up right now with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Give constant priority to the things which we have heard and make Christ number one, ceaseless in our prayer life, relentlessly pursuing after Christ. Have you ever thought this? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've never been anything really. Now that I'm saved, what can I be and what can I do for the Lord? Every one of us has a part to do in the local church. Local churches, it makes us have things to do in the family of God. Every one of us. Ladies, when y'all showed up the other night and Sunday at 5 o'clock and went over there, and you think, well, I'm just going to do it because it's just... You are so vital. The nursery program is so vital to the work of the Lord. You folks that come along and say, listen, I want to be part of the volunteer cleaning program of the church. You are so vital to the house of God. When you come along, you clean the bathrooms over there, and the bathrooms there, and the bathrooms there. We got the bathrooms there. We got bathrooms there. And, you know, and you come along and you get part of that. You are vital. Every one of us has a part. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14. For the body is not one member, but many. It's not just pastor. Not just deacon. It's not just song leader. It's not just Sunday school teacher. For the body is not one member, the local body of Christ, not one many member, but many. And then he goes on to liken every one of us as a part of a human body. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is there therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if there were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those, listen what it says, though much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, or what? Are necessary. Necessary. That those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Wow. Nursery workers, listen. You are of great necessity. I know you might think it's just a cleaners. You are of great necessity. Not everybody can be singers. Not everybody can be instrumentalists. Not everybody can be up there videoing with Brother Bill. But if everybody's up there videoing, everybody is up there. Nobody. Everybody has a part. Discovery Club workers, the youth zone workers, bus workers. We all have a part to do. If you want to grow your relationship with Christ, and you want to grow yourself personally, your family spiritually personally, and our church spiritually growth, which will produce numerical growth, we all have to do our part. You say, but I'm just one person. That's all the ear does is one job. The ear doesn't do what the elbow does. The nose doesn't do what the knee bone does. See, God put it in here in a way that we can understand. Every one of us know, if we get a sprained ankle, a bunion, a callus, or a rosin, a boil, or something on our feet, it hurts. And it makes the whole body suffer. How many of you ever stumped your toe in the middle of the night going to the bathroom and your head hurts? Different. I'm going to tell you, for all the comely parts have no need. All of us, dear friend, if this was only what the church was the pastor, if this was it, where would the workers be? Where would the labor? Where would the layman be? I know you think, well, Brother Jim and pastors all the time up here, and they're in front of the church, and I'm not sure why God chooses the baser of things to do this. I guess to keep us humble up here. But you have great honor. The same blood that was shed to save me, and the same God that called me to be a pastor, is the same God that loves you. The same amount of blood it took to save me was what it took to save you. So we want growth, dear friend. We got to understand it. We got to grasp truth, hold on to it, Christ first, constantly praying, and do my part. What is your part for the Lord? Figure it out. He didn't save you so you can just sit there and grow mold underneath your feet. He saved you to use you in a mighty way. What is your part? Just like Brother Cheney said the other night, there's people that I will never, ever be able to converse with that God has opened up for you to be able to do so. Basic growth. Four simple things. I hope it was a blessing. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray, God, you bless as we close out the service and we move on into our business meeting. In Jesus' name, amen.